Morning, 12th Street. Let's stand together. We're going to open this morning with My Redeemer Lives.
I know He rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe. My shame He's taken away. My pain is healed in His name. I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner, 'cause my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer. I believe, I believe. My shame He's taken away. My pain is healed in His name. I believe, I believe. I'll raise a banner, 'cause my Lord has conquered the grave.
To see you out this morning, and if you're not awake yet, then go get some coffee, all right? Well, we have a few announcements to go through this morning, so if you take your bulletin and go through these with me. First of all, following the service this morning, there is an Awana meeting, and if you're interested in helping with Awana, or you're just interested in knowing what might be available to do in Awana, then plan on staying after the service right up here at the front. And we are in need of leaders, verse listeners, and game leaders. So if you'd like to help with those things, then meet up here at the front. Awana meets on Wednesdays from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And that starts September 12th. The back-to-school backpacks, the distribution of that, there will be some. Where's Lynn? Is that today, or is that next? It's today. It says in the bulletin next Sunday, but it is today. Today is next Sunday. So if you would like to get that backpack, we have a lot of backpacks that are made up. So those will be in the Welcome Center. This is the day to return your World Mission coin boxes. I saw that there were many that have been returned. And if you fill it with coins, equal distribution, it turns out to be about $35 per coin box. So if you forgot to do a coin box, we're giving you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
What?
To give $35 And then you didn't have to collect your change. And so if you'd like to do that, though, if you want to make sure that you get another box turned in or a box turned in, today's the last day before we send it off to World Mission. And so you can see Lynn Anderson. She'll help you with that. The Allen family will be here next Sunday, and that's going to be a great Sunday. Todd will be preaching next Sunday. The family will be singing. They're taking care of all the music except for the opener. The choir will be doing that, but it'll be a great morning. So I want to encourage you to be out here next Sunday for the Allens. And then on September 5th, we're having a spaghetti and chicken Alfredo lunch. You can either have spaghetti or chicken Alfredo, but we need you to sign up at the Welcome Center so we know how much food to have prepared. And then following dinner, the Allens will be putting on a concert for us. So that will be September 5th. And they have a lot of new music out, and I'm looking forward to spending some time with Todd and his family. On Wednesday nights, beginning September 12th, we have something for every age, and I'm excited about it. So Awana will be kicking off. We have a class for the college age. And you say, what's college age? Yes, if you feel you're that age, then go meet with the college age. So you say, well, I'm not in college. That's okay. You can, if you feel you're that age, then they're going through what's called Periscope. It's looking at the world through a biblical point of view. And it's really great stuff, 7 weeks with devotions. And so I'd like to encourage our college age to make sure you're out for that. And Jim Dieters has graciously said that he will facilitate that that group. And so I'm looking forward to our college group. And then we also have Crisis 101, and I'll be teaching that. And it's not all about life is hard. You're going to have, you know, crisis all the time. It just, we're going to look at how to handle every single, even like, you know, your curling iron blows the fuse and you don't have time to go reset it. All right? Sounds familiar from this weekend for us with all the hair being done for wedding stuff. But it just handles every little thing in life, and it's really great material. I'm looking forward to facilitating it. And so we have something for everybody in the family. I want to encourage you to come out on Wednesdays, plug into Wednesday nights. We have a baby shower on September 16th for Jorge and Jacqueline Cortez, and our tag team event is coming up on September 22nd at Bronson Park. And if you haven't signed up to help work a station, I'd like to encourage you to do that. And then also, we are running the services at Bronson Commons, and you can sign up to help with that on September 30th, and that's after the morning service here. In the afternoon, we have a group that goes out and does that. There's more announcements. You can read through all of those. I'm excited this morning for the singing. I'm excited for the message this morning. And so I hope that as you participate this morning, that you truly do engage. Church has become such a spectator sport, right? And it's just, oh, just, you know, listen to the preacher, you know. So I'm going to ask you this morning to engage, participate, be part of it.
Yeah, baby.
There you go. Paul's got it. And I believe that God is going to do some great things. So let's pray together. Lord God, you are awesome. Your plans are wonderful. Lord, we know that there are some that are hurting this morning, and we do pray that you would comfort them in their struggles. We do thank you for the blessings that many this morning, when they woke up, you gave a blessing. Lord, maybe even last week, you let a blessing come into our lives, and so we thank you for those blessings. And Lord, I do believe that today that you want us to participate in every way as we sing, God, you are so great. You deserve every good word that can come out of our mouths. As we give, Lord, I pray that we would give like you are a God. I pray that we would not give according to our selfishness, but give according to your plentifulness. And I pray, Lord, that as we fellowship, we would do so with love, that we would extend a hand to each other that shows that we love each other. So, Lord, this is all for you. We're not here for us this morning. We're here for you. So, God, be great. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. Thank you.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing Open Up the Heavens.
Ah!
majesty, Lord of all, let every throne before him fall, the King of kings, oh come adore our God who reigns forevermore. Crown him Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save.
So highly of us. Father, we just pray for the pastor this morning as he comes and bring the message. Lord, we just pray you pour your spirit out on him, Father, and you just give him the words and the wisdom to impart to us what you want us to hear this morning, Father, and we just pray that our hearts would be receptive to what you want us to hear. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the ushers come forward.
Morning, thanking you for the allowing us to be here, thanking you for the blessings of the week. Lord, we pray that your presence would be here with us, and we'd open up our hearts and our mind unto you. Lord, I pray for our pastor as he presents your word to us. I pray for the teachers in the back that you would be with them and all the children back there. I thank you for the many things that you've done for us, your forgiveness of sin. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glorious God of revelation, we are here to gaze. Thank you, choir.
At this time, the children may be dismissed to children's church. And as the children head out, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And as we wrap up the rest of this book of 1 Thessalonians, there are some really good just thoughts in this passage. And I hope that as we study this morning, that it will be more than just the individual thoughts that will stand out, but you get the big picture. Yesterday, I had the privilege of helping to officiate two weddings. That makes for a busy day. My sister got married yesterday, and so I got to help be part of that. And then Cooper and Taylor, now Moyer, they got married yesterday, and so I got to go and be part of that, and what a blessing. It was funny because the ring bearers for both weddings were a little uncooperative. For my sister's wedding, my nephews, two of my nephews were ring bearers. One got carried into by mom, who was a bridesmaid. He's just sobbing, tears, and while she's walking in, she just carried him in. And the other one refused to go anywhere. He sat down in the back of the church and just sat there. So my sister came and came down the aisle. She had to kind of walk around him. And they were very well behaved compared to the other ring bearer, who his mom walked him to the front. He held her, she held his hand. When he got there, he had the pillow in his hand. He walked up to the front, took the pillow, and threw it, and then went and sat down. I thought, wow. So I guess what we take from this is don't be a ring bearer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober." Let's remember what we looked at last week. The day of the Lord, the day of God's judgment, the day where he comes to pour out his fury and wrath on the earth, will not touch us who are of the day. Because it only comes as a thief that surprises those who don't know Christ as their Savior. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not be surprised by this. You will not be overtaken by this. Because you will have gone during the day of Christ to meet the Lord in the air, and you will forever be with the Lord. So, he gives us this great thought. We won't be surprised by the coming of the Lord like a thief surprises someone, because we are children of the day. And then he says, because we're children of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, if you look behind me, we used to have faith up there in the middle. Our faith fell. But that doesn't mean our faith fell, right? It's the sign fell. But we are to put on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath. Praise God, right? God did not appoint for those who are of the day, those who are believers, to ever face his wrath. We are free from his wrath. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So, when he comes back, those who are asleep, the dead, they go first, and then if we're awake, we go next. Either way, we get to go be with him because we believe. Verse 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brother with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The first epistle to the Thessalonians was written from Athens. Now, to those who believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and trust what Jesus did as their salvation, you are of the light. You are of the day. And in John 1:9, it tells us this. It says that, or Jesus was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Okay? Is this plan for Jesus, for us to be in the light, is it only for like a select few? Certain? No. He lights everybody who comes in the world. But then in John 8:12, he explained to us how that works. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How do you follow Jesus? You believe in him. You trust in him. See, there's a big difference between knowing about someone or something and following that someone or something. Okay? I happen to root for the Detroit Lions. I'm one of you long-suffering. I'm not even optimistic about this year. If they don't go 3-13, I might cheer. Okay? Now, I am not one of the Detroit Lions. Okay? I do follow them. I do follow them because I care about what's happening with them. Okay? I do. I don't cry when they lose, but I throw something at the TV. And that seems to be every week. And they find a way to lose no matter what is happening. They can be up by 21 points in the fourth quarter and find a way to lose. And Rachel, she'll tell you, she leaves the room because I'm throwing something at the TV because I follow them. Why? Because I care about what's happening. I'm invested emotionally into it. And it is part of my life. Okay, Jesus Christ. Do you follow him or do you just know about him? Okay, I know about the Chicago Bears. Don't care. Don't care. Green Bay Packers. Don't care. I lived in Wisconsin for 4 years. Okay, I got them shoved down my throat. Don't care. Don't want to care. Okay? When they play the Lions, I hope they lose. Then, other than that, okay? Why? Because I don't follow them. Do you follow Jesus? Or is Jesus one of those you know about, check the score, but you don't really follow him? If you follow Jesus, he says, listen, you're in the light. Let's look at the characteristics from this passage that let us know about being in the light. And verse 8 gives us these things. In verse 8, it says that we're sober. That means not given over to drunkenness in any form. Not given to drunkenness in any form. You're of the light, you're sober. This could include alcohol, it could do drugs. There's a lot of different forms that losing your sobriety could show itself. And so, you're of the light? Be sober. See, if you kept reading in 1 Thessalonians 5, earlier, before the passage where we started, and then you look at Matthew 25 where Jesus talks about the exact same thing about his wrath coming, and it's like a thief to those who aren't prepared. And in both places it says, those who are drunk in the night. Those who are sober during the day. You are not of the night, but of the day. So be sober. We live in a world where so many people are not sober in their minds, because they allow something else to have a control of how they think or when they can think clearly because they are under the influence. And I want to encourage you today that when you are in the light, God's desire for you is to be sober. He was not sober right there. Number two, he wants us to have the breastplate of faith and love. Here's what a breastplate does. A breastplate protects your heart. And he wants your heart to be protected in faith and love. Faith keeps you from loving the wrong things. Proper faith will help keep you from loving the wrong things. In 1 John 2:15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Love God's things. Put on the breastplate of faith. Protect your heart. Love the things that God wants you to love. In Ephesians 6:14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." The true definition of righteousness is this: it's right faith with proper love makes one righteous. Okay, I want you to think about this for a second. Right faith with proper love makes one righteous. Now, I'm not making myself righteous because faith is a gift that God gives. And so when I have that faith that God gives and I exercise that faith and I believe in Jesus Christ, he helps me love the things that I should love. Right faith helps me to love the right things, and so now I am righteous because Christ has worked that in me. That's why when we put on this breastplate, it's the breastplate of faith and love, which is the breastplate of righteousness. The third thing we see about walking in light is that we should have a helmet of salvation. A helmet protects your mind. Now, when I was little, I'd put on a helmet and I'd run into the garage door over and over and over again. I just liked the feeling of getting stunned. Okay, that little, you know, right before you knock yourself out and you're conscious. I liked that feeling, and so I'd put my helmet on and I'd run into it. And my dad, his garage door had all these dents in it because I liked it. So then when I got into college and I was playing college football, you know, I would wear a do-rag over my forehead because, you know, I got a forehead the size of Montana. And I put a do-rag over it, and I would hit people. And this is before the laws changed in football. You used to be able to hit people with your helmet, and I did every chance I got. And I'd cut my head open and bleed, and it was wonderful. I loved the feeling of it. All right. I didn't love it, though, if I didn't have a helmet on. The helmet protected me. Okay? We have a helmet of salvation. What does our helmet of salvation do? It protects our minds. Here's what salvation does for you. It helps you believe the right things. That is salvation. John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, "I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can pluck them out of my hand." In John 10, 29, "My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one is able to take them from my Father's hand." Folks, this is salvation. The helmet of salvation, when you wear this helmet of salvation and you know the salvation that you have, you are secure in Christ. Anyone who is insecure in who they are in Christ, "Well, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know if God can keep me saved." You're not wearing the helmet of salvation. Because the helmet of salvation secures these things in your mind. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." This is the hope of salvation. Jesus has promised he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you need to wear that helmet that protects your mind to believe those right things about your Lord. Now, go down to verse 23. Because verse 23 sums up the goal of Christian living. It says, "The God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's break this down, because that's actually what this entire passage does, is it leads up to that thought. This is like the crescendo of this passage. So first of all, he tells us that we are completely set apart to holiness. That's what sanctified is. It's set apart to holiness. And here's the great thing about it. When God sets us apart to holiness, he does it wholly, completely. So when I'm not living in holiness, it's not because God isn't setting me apart for that. It's because I'm choosing not to. I don't lose my salvation. I got my helmet on. I might have my breastplate off, so I'm loving the things I shouldn't love. But God's desire for us is to be completely set apart to holiness. He wants your whole spirit. What is your spirit? Your spirit, that's your affections. It's the part of you that chooses. This is number two in the bulletin. Your whole spirit, your affections, the part of you that chooses, you're blameless in this. Think about it. That's what verse 23 is telling us. That in your spirit, the part of you that chooses, you're blameless. And this answers to the breastplate of faith and love. When you're wearing the breastplate of faith and love, your whole spirit, your affections, they can be blameless. In verse 13, he gives us an example of how this works. Be at peace among yourselves. Because when we're at peace, we're choosing to have our emotions at peace. Okay, my neighbor's dog attacked my dog the other day. Okay? My dog, if you know my dog just, a dog attacks it, just lays down, waits for it to leave. Okay? And so I had a little piece of paper. It wasn't even this big, not even this thick, and I went like that on that dog's nose. And that owner came unglued. And I'm like, keep your dog in your yard then. Well, my dog can't help it, da-da-da. And I wanted to just blow up on this lady. But you know what? I can be at peace. I just told her, I said, get your dog off my property, please. And so she's chasing her dog, and her dog won't let her get it. And it's kind of, my dog wouldn't let me get it either, because it's scared to death of me. Finally, I hear the lady yelling, get back here! And I turn around, and I don't see her dog. I'm like, are you saying that to me? She's like, no. And she went into her house. Okay, I can choose to be at peace. So you know what I did? I walked over and knocked on the door, and I said, you know what? I wasn't very kind toward you. I said, I'm sorry. And she looked at me, she goes, why are you apologizing? I'm the one that was acting like an idiot. And you know why I could apologize? Because I can be at peace. I can choose that. And you can choose it. You know when we're not at peace? It's because we choose not to be. And this is part of having your whole spirit completely blameless. Verse 16, it tells us, rejoice evermore. If you ever want to memorize a verse in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it's really easy. Rejoice evermore. There you go. You got a Bible verse memorized. Okay. Rejoice evermore. This is a huge, huge, huge verse. Because if we can learn how to choose our affections, we will rejoice no matter what's happening around us. We can rejoice in every situation. We find the good that God does in everything. That's how we rejoice evermore. Verse 19, it tells us, quench not the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't put out the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's a choice you make. You choose to be more interested in something than what God wants you interested in. You have affections for something that God doesn't want you to have affections for, and so his spirit burns out, gets doused. And the goal is that our whole spirit, all of our affections, will be under the control of our Lord. The third thing that verse 23 teaches us is your whole soul. This is your intellect, the part of you that thinks this should be blameless. And this answers in verse 8 to the helmet of salvation, right? Because it protects your mind, the part of you that thinks. Well, God wants your whole soul. When you die, your body dies, but your soul keeps living. The part of you that thinks is the real you. They haven't figured out how to do a brain transplant yet. And they won't. You know why? You put my brain in somebody else's body, all you've done is move me to a different shell. Because your soul, the part of you that thinks, is the real you. Now you're all thinking about the options. Am I mind another body? 20 years younger. Okay, let's stop that. All right, let's get back to... You're like, I wasn't even thinking that. Now you got me all sidetracked. God wants everything that you think to be under his control. So in verse 22, it tells us, in verse 17, it tells us, pray without ceasing. Again, you want to learn a verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, two words, pray, or three words, pray without ceasing. Real easy. Just memorize two verses today. Man, good day. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? You're in constant communication with your God. And how do you do that? You have to train your mind to look to God all the time and talk to him in every circumstance to keep the conversation going. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. There's a four-word verse for you. In everything, give thanks. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Train your mind to be thankful in every situation. You know why? This is the will of God. That's the will of God for your life. In verses 20 through 21, don't hate the biblical teachings that are true. Put them to the test and you'll find out God is always right. God is always truthful. Your whole soul, your whole intellect, let it be given to Christ. And then in verse 23, it tells us our whole body. We know what our body is. It's the soma. It's the physical, the part of you that does. I'm going to teach you a Greek word real quick, okay? When you think of a sumo wrestler, what do you think? Big guy, little clothes, right? Big guy, right? Okay, here's what the Greek word for body is. It's sumo. Sumo wrestler, right? So when you think of this body, you know it's the outward, okay? And then have you seen the commercial where the sumo wrestler is ice skating? And he's like, okay, I don't know why I thought of that. That's a squirrel moment. Get talking about the sumo wrestler. All right. Soma, your whole body. Your complete body given to your God. And he will make you blameless. Your body, it's the physical. It's the part of you that does. So we have a part of us that feels, we have a part of us that thinks, and we have a part of us that does. And God wants the part of you that does to be completely given to him. And this answers to what verse 8 said about being sober. What we do with our body, we can control it. So in verse 22, it told us, don't participate in behavior that is evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't let evil be seen in your life. We don't have to do evil. We don't have to do things that look bad. We can control this body. And we do this until Christ comes back. So he wants the complete you. The part of you that feels, the part of you that thinks, and the part of you that does. He wants all of that until Christ returns. Now in verses 13 through 22, it gives us a list of all these like things And we don't do these things to be holy. But because we are holy, we do these things. Christ makes us blameless by setting us apart from the world. And God wants your whole self completely given to Him, completely dedicated to Him. When I married Rachel, the best decision I ever made, best decision I ever made, other than trusting Christ as my Savior, okay? But when I married her, I became completely set apart for her. Okay? And she became completely set apart for me. She was now off the market. I put a ring on it. She's mine. Okay? When we come to Christ, we follow Him, we walk in the light, we are completely His. Now that we're married, I'm at peace with her as much as I can be. And she is at peace with me as much as she can be. And we want peace. Why do we want peace? Because we enjoy the relationship. And so we choose it. We enjoy each other. We communicate. We talk regularly. All the things that it says here in verses 13 through 22, we do. I thank her all the time because she's extraordinary. She keeps the house afloat. If it's just me, the life preservers we can't find them. And so I thank her. I try not to get upset at her. I definitely don't want her to be upset with me. I speak in good ways to her, compliment her, because she's mine. Doing these things doesn't make us married, but because I'm married to her, I want to do these things. Well, this is our relationship with Christ. Because He saves us, all these things that are listed in verses 13 through 22, we do them because we're His. He's got our whole being. And what God does, He preserves our blameless state. Think about that for a second. He preserves our blameless state. I am not a blameless person all the time. Why? Because God knows my thoughts. He knows everything about me. And something that nobody else would ever know, God knows. And so before Him, of myself, I'm not blameless. But because of Him, He makes me blameless. He says, I'm not going to broadcast out these things. I'm not going to hold you down for these things because I forgave you for these things. When He wholly set me apart, when He completely set me apart to holiness, He did so that I could be His now and forever. And I want to live with Him at peace. I want to talk to Him. I want to please Him. All the same things I want to do in my marriage, I want to do for my Lord. And here's what He wants from you. He wants your emotions, your mind, and your body to be totally set apart for Him until He returns. So I want to close with these couple thoughts here. If you have spirit for the Lord and you have soul, so you have your affections rightly lined up, you have your soul, your thinking lined up correctly, but not your body, not the things that you do. So you have spirit, soul, no body. You are a carnal Christian. That means you're given devices. You go, you know, I can't figure out why I've got all these bad habits that I can't stop. I'll tell you why. He may have your spirit, He may have your soul, but He doesn't have your body. And God wants all three. He's not taking just part. He wants all three. In Romans 13, 14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You've got to control that body because it's His. If you have spirit, you have your emotions set aside for the Lord, your affections, your choices, your body set apart for the Lord, but not your soul, not your thinking, then you're an immature Christian. You're given to incorrect theology and doctrine that's run by your emotions. In fact, it tells us this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It tells us that you'll be tossed about by every wind and doctrine. And so if God only has two-thirds, and you're missing that part of you, that thinking part of you, God doesn't have that, you're going to be immature in your faith. But then if you have your body and your soul, the body and the thinking part of you, the part of you that does and the part of you that thinks, but God does not have your affections, your spirit, then you'll be an indifferent Christian. You'll be given to faithless activity, or you'll be deprived of love, living true love. James chapter 2 tells us faith without works is dead. You have faith, but you don't have works, it's dead. In 1 Corinthians 13, if you have faith and you have actions and you have the gifts of the Spirit, but you don't have love, you have nothing. And so we have to have this affection for the Lord. He needs to govern our affections. Too many of us have what I call a Star Wars or George Lucas type of faith. We believe that, because in Star Wars, the force has to be balanced, right? If you ever watch the silly movies, you got to have a balance in the force. It's not how God is. There should not be a balance in the force. It should be God having complete control of your soul, your spirit, and your mind, and your body. God's not looking to be at war with any of us or any part of us. So here's what he does. When he saves us, he sets us apart. He says, you are now completely, in my view, because of what Jesus has done for you, you're completely mine. And now he says, I just want you to live like you're completely mine. So the encouragement to us today is give it all to him. And we're going to close with the song, I Surrender All. And I think it's very appropriate to what this passage is talking about, because every part of us, what I feel, what I think, and what I do, it belongs to Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. Lord, if there's anybody here who's never trusted in you as their Lord and Savior, they're missing out today because they have no idea what it's like to be in the light. Because when we're in the light, we have a breastplate that protects our faith, that protects our love. We have a helmet that protects the way that we think, lets us know that we're saved. So, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who's never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that right now in the quietness of this moment, they would just call out to you. You came to this world, Jesus. You died for our sin, and you rose again from the grave so that we could be free, so we didn't have to live in sin any longer, and so that we don't have to pay ourselves for the penalty of sin. But Lord, we were set apart. We're holy. So God, I pray that if anyone's never trusted you, that right now they would do so. Lord, I pray for those who have trusted you that, Lord, maybe they've been keeping back one-third, two-thirds. Maybe, Lord, they're wholly on the wrong side right now. I pray, Lord, that today we would be wholly set apart for you. Help us to do business with you as we sing this closing song. I pray, God, that your spirit would have its way in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, as we sing this song, I invite you to come. Tell me you'd like to trust Jesus. If you have trusted Jesus, but you haven't been wholly set apart, I encourage you, you can pray where you're at. You can come to the front, kneel. Just make sure that you've surrendered all to your Lord.
trust him in his presence daily.
Awesome God, because you allow us the privilege of being 100% Christian, 100% in the light. Lord, you are great for that. We give you praise for that. Now as we go from here, help us as we live our lives to give our whole soul, our whole spirit, and our whole body to you. So now, unto the Lamb who was slain, be glory and honor and power and dominion both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you, serve him.